following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Corolla Classics is brought to you by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. How easy is this, Gio?
It's Geico easy.
It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. Hello and welcome to Corolla Classics for April 18th, 2020, the show where we highlight the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show by playing you some clips, some little bites. My name is Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show, and with me, as always, Corolla archivist, superfan Giovanni.
Coming at you with an almost all listener request weekend.
I see that. Before we get started, I want to remind everybody, whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today. Now, as Jay was saying, we got some listener requests. And if you want to write a request in, you can email us, classics at adamcarolla.com, or tweet us at Giovanni Giorgio, at Chris Loxamana. We're also on Instagram, Facebook. Just hit us up. Let us know what you want to hear. And we got a lot of requests today. And we'll just get right into it. This first one comes from Eric. And he writes, can you guys play the episode with Adam and Garrigus talking about the dead Chinese girl floating in the water tank at the Cecil Hotel? That shit was hilarious. When they're comparing whose water would you rather brush your teeth with. Let's just get into it. What do you got, Gio?
Eric with the coolest last name ever. It's a common word with a Y entered, but I don't want to spoil it for everybody because he probably doesn't want that out there. This is Adam Carolla Show at 11:05. Kelly James, Mark Garrigos, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. Recorded June 20th, 2013. Released the following day. And this is the episode where Mark Garrigos comes in and they discuss that very bizarre story of that mysterious woman walking around on the hotel footage that ended up somehow in a water tank. And they end up making it very funny despite the very grim circumstances. Check it out.
All right, speaking of conditioned air, a month ago or so, we were out in Malibu, and we're doing a charity. My wife dropped off the 10 grand we raised over the children's hospital and brought my son. And that's the kind of stuff. I'm not that interested in school. Mark and I were speaking before about schooling, but I said, take the boy with you. Take him to the children's hospital. Let him see the kids.
Right.
And then let him see mommy giving the check that she raised by selling tickets to the party in Malibu. Let them experience that. There could be nothing taught in a classroom that day that would be more important than seeing the kids, seeing the children's hospital, seeing the philanthropic endeavors, knowing that there's people that are worse shaped than you and that you have to give back to them and blah, 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 blah. So,
it's just a waste of my time.
That's sunny. So then Dawson gave me the CD that he engineered from that day. We had Susanna Hoffs and we had Fits and the Tantrums. And, of course, John Popper played. And I was just listening to the acoustic version of it. And I thought, let's play it. It's 5 minutes long. And if you're listening at home and you want to fast forward through it and get to me and Mark arguing about some legal case, fine. But if not, put your earbuds in and really enjoy the artistry of John Popper playing this song. And like I said, it's not in his repertoire. I asked that he play this song. So him and Chan, his guitar player, had to dig it out. But picture him standing in a beautiful Malibu vista with the wind blowing and the sun overhead and a bunch of people sitting out on blankets on the lawn and John Popper playing this.
So this next song is the song that I was on Adam's radio show, and we were talking about songs that we do, and he mentioned Look Around, and I'd totally forgotten that we did this song. And he played it, and I was like, yeah, this is a really friggin' good song. So I really kind of owe him that, because now I do that song a lot more because I remember it. So, and he special requested it, so Chan learned it in a hurry in the dressing room. Thank you.
had no answer for me. What I want or what I get, we're enough to speak, afraid to see. Confuse the issue till you forget. And I try can already tell, I am unable to let things go. I'm told I do it very well, but more important, you should know. If you call that a waste, 'cause it ain't me that's been hurting you inside. And if you learned, you'll know much more than I, that you're gonna have to go and find it. You'll have to dig beneath the ground. You'll have to unearth every ugly stone kept you on your own. And simply put them down. You're gonna have to look around. No answer from me, but what I get or what I want, that was enough to make her leave. She's not the first one come and go. Simply put them down. you're gonna have to look around. You're gonna have to look around. Thank you.
Love me some John Popper. I love that fucking guy.
So pretty.
He's such a good singer, such a vocalist, and he's great lyrics, too. Just love John Popper. All right, we have an intro for Mark. By the way, I'm told we have a new intro for you, Mark.
A new intro?
That means you've arrived.
Wow.
Yeah. In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups, an attorney who defends them, and the guy who complains about cops who write chicken shit tickets, and lawyers suing over bullshit. This is their segment.
Nice.
That's very nice.
Oh, well, this is not a bullshit ticket. I've always been interested in this case. Never really got to the bottom of it. There was the North Hollywood shootout, the bank robbers.
I represented the mom. Do you remember that case?
This is why I'm dying to talk to you.
I swear to you. I can't.
This is a great guest.
Her name was Valerie
Svensson.
Yeah, it was a Romanian name.
Yeah, she was a delight.
Right. Well, she was quite a challenging client. You know, after those guys, you know, those guys were the template for Heat, the movie. You know, the body armor, and a buddy of mine was the DA on that case who had originally, before that case.
She got out.
Yes.
Great ass.
Yeah. Well, I've said, all right, so for people don't know, there's a couple of guys from some Soviet bloc, I don't know what, which turns out, somebody has to explain. I was going, well, wake up, white people. What are you doing? You are the fucking nuttiest people on the fucking planet. What is going on with you over there? And they got pulled over in Eagle Rock for having, several banana clips and police scanners and flash grenades and body armor.
Body armor. I mean, body armor.
Yeah. And, like I said, here's the whole thing. I know you may take some umbrage with this, but when I pull you over and I find you with the duct tape and the zip ties and the ether rag and the stabbing knife on the way to the nurse's dorm room, I would like to get you for more than just reckless driving. I want
possession
some intent.
Of body armor, I think back then was a misdemeanor.
I want some intent, because what we did is good police work. We stopped you before you got to the nurse's dorm and raped everybody. But we can't do anything. Now, what I don't get is you catch me with a shoebox full of weed and it's intent to distribute.
Right.
Except for I'm not distributing.
If you're in your car, it's an instrumentality of interstate commerce, and they'll make it a federal case.
But hold on a second. Okay. I have weed in my house. Well, this is a few years ago. But I have a shoebox. No, not me. I'm still deep into the weed. But I'm saying is society doesn't judge anymore.
But we're going to go into the weed.
I have a shoebox of weed at my house, and the cops discover it, and I get intent to distribute, even though I'm not selling it.
Right. Daddy, stop talking.
I'm not caught selling it. It's just sitting in my house. No one's not
possessing it. So why can't a whole bunch of weapons and zip ties and whatnot in a car be
intent to rob a bank?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing. But remember what happened to these guys. The first time they busted them, they got off.
They were given a
relatively light sentence.
They got 4 miles from where we sit. They were pulled over.
Right.
They got half their shit. They got back.
Right. There was a motion to return property. And they did get part of it back.
Right. So they gave the crazed Russian guys their AK-47s with their modified.
They were Romanian.
I don't draw a great distinction.
Yeah. There you go.
And they gave them all their shit back. And then, are you guys sitting down? A few months later, they walked into the North Hollywood B of A and started shooting everybody. And they shot everyone they could possibly shoot at. They were shooting at helicopters. That's when the cops had to go bust into B&B Guns and go get some stuff that they could fight back with. And their guys were pinned behind their cars. It's insane that nobody died.
They did.
Oh, I know they did. One killed himself. I think maybe the other shot.
Well, the other, and then somebody sued. You like lawyers suing.
This is
Steve
the part.
Steve Yagman was a very famous civil rights lawyer and sued on behalf of the mother, who was my client on the criminal case, before the LAPD letting him bleed out on the ground.
Right. And it was.
Now, that's an Adam lawsuit, right?
Well, it's a very interesting case, which is the LAPD. I mean, the footage is unbelievable. There's a certain point he's like trying to commandeer a pickup truck just on a side street, and the cops are there. They're shooting it out from like 9 feet away with automatic weapons. The one guy took his own life. It's never as satisfying as taking a bullet to the head from the LAPD. But either way, they kill the guy. They kill the other. The other guy's still alive, but he's bleeding out.
Right.
And they claim there's a third guy that they think may be around, even though they don't seem to really be acting as if. A lot of sitting on the hood and watching the guy bleed out.
Bleed
but
out,
they're not letting the ambulance in the perimeter because there may be a third guy. Now, my feeling is if you just...
And they said that they feared his body could have been booby-trapped.
Oh, that's one they probably thought of on the way back to the precinct.
I was going to say, that was an afterthought.
That was an afterthought. That was, hey, we're fucked here. Let's come up with something else that sounds a little better than what we got.
I didn't realize you had the video up.
What happens is when somebody puts 13 or 1,400 rounds in your direction, when you finally do get them down, you're not in such a hurry to get
to
the ambulance.
Mouth to mouth?
Yeah, you're not bending over and going, live, damn it, live, and then screaming to the heavens, why not me? Take me. No, so the guy literally, these cops just went through the craziest hour of their life where they were pinned behind their cars and this guy's fire. And now they finally get this guy and they're like bulldogs that have been, you know, pent up behind a fence for an hour. And they finally get to that pork chop and they're kicking him and rolling him over. And they're doing all the stuff you would do if you finally got to the guy who was unloading banana clips at you for the last hour. And then they said, well, we could put him in an ambulance and rush him over to the hospital and keep him alive, possibly. Maybe he dies, maybe he lives. But let's play it safe. There may be a third guy. Someone, it's very confusing. No, someone in the bank said, maybe there's a third guy. We don't want the ambulance to come in, so we'll just sit here. And then the cop just sort of sat there, and he bled out. And then there was a wrongful death lawsuit.
Right. There was a lawsuit, federal court.
Right, and I have two heads on this. One is I want the mother executed as well.
Well, but understand what they did with the mother.
Oh,
understand
hear,
what they did with the
hear.
Mother.
She ran
they
a,
then, yeah, she ran the boarding house in Pasadena.
It was awesome.
Right.
She's a delight.
Yes. And they went and executed a search warrant in search for any materials that had to do with something like this. And then they found people who were mentally challenged, kind of crammed into what was declared deplorable conditions. And then they filed multiple felony counts against mom. And,
right, good. Yeah. You created a monster that attempted to kill tens of people, and then you were warehousing people.
It's the opposite of that old expression, don't visit the sins of the father upon the son. It's visit the sins of the son upon the parents.
I'm all for,
you're all for that.
That.
Right.
How did you get hooked up with the case?
She was,
she had
at the time, believe, no, at the time, Susan McDougall, who I was representing, was at the old Sybil Brand County Jail. And have you ever, did you ever go there when it was still open? They closed it down.
In my mind, been, all the time.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that was the mind. Single worst jail, and it was a woman's jail.
I go to Sybil Danning Jail. That's a better jail for me. Find a picture of Sybil Danning, I'll show you the jail I hang out in.
Susan McDougall asked me to represent her, said, look, she's the most hated woman in America right now. Nobody wants to represent her. Represent her. So I decided I'd do it. What the heck? I thought there
well,
was something
Well, now there's a new
wrong.
Leader in the clubhouse. It's the mom of the North Hollywood shooter.
Exactly.
So, now, but you have to understand, okay, her son is horrible, and he did what he did, but it's not LAPD's job to be the executioner. Like,
right.
They sat there, and they sort of willfully, Sybil Danning, by the way, they sit there.
So weird they'd erect a jail in her
yeah,
honor.
Yeah, right, but it does.
Whatever.
80s.
Kind of a fantasy for every young male.
80s, like, kind of Skinamax kind of icon. But anyway. I think she was in, I swear to God, she was one of those like Chained Heat movies or whatever. There used to be women in prison movies
right.
that I would frequent quite a bit because that's all we had.
It was but, for white, it was our guy, for white guys, it was the kind of like Shaft was for
yeah,
African Americans.
It was white, had, white exploitation.
Right.
Boob exploitation. Right. So it was always, you always know the prison guard. The prison guards wear their shirts undone to their navels and have their sleeves rolled up. They always know that they're ready for action for the ladies. And they weren't lit that well. But anyway, and a lot of wardens going, you know how the game is played.
She was in Chained Heat.
Chained Heat, you were right.
Yes. I have no idea who the Secretary of State is right now, but I do know Sybil Danning was in Chained Heat in 1981. So,
what an insult. IMDb doesn't put that amongst her best-known movies.
Yeah. It's not amongst her best known.
No. What is?
F?
What is?
Her top four are, this is ridiculous, Hercules, which I think was a TV show or from 83. Right. Grindhouse, which Michael Biehn was in. Halloween from 07. And Battle Beyond the Stars from 1980.
Well, that's where you put you slot chained Heat. And you, this first off, there should be a lawsuit here. Right. Mark, get on this, would you? Right.
As long as Sybil wants to work on a contingency, I'm all for it.
So now the world's worst mom in the world is suing on a wrongful death because her world's worst son is bleeds out in front of the LAPD cruiser.
But what was Sybil's crime?
Oh, the different chick.
No, in Chained Heat.
Oh, sorry. Oh, no, she was one of those who was just in.
Okay.
You know they never explained like how she got there. Was she unjustly incarcerated? I don't remember.
No, I don't think Sybil was in there for something she didn't do. She was just one of the tough ones who was in there. And every story's the same. It's the hard edge ones. They have like the Latin one. They have the blonde one. They have the whatever. And then they have the little chick who's in there for a crime she didn't commit. Who's cute, kind of pixie, and she gets tough.
The Sally Fields in. As a young child.
Yeah, she gets thrown in with the tough ones. And at a certain point, the Latin chick grabs her by the hair and tilts it back.
Exactly.
Gives her and then more of the, you know how the game is played. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You get along. That's how we work around here. Yeah, it's a lot of that.
Yeah.
And there's somebody named Big something.
Big Sally.
Big Sally.
So always Big Sally.
So, well, I find out what Sybil's, her character name is.
Her name was Erica with a CKA at the end.
That was it? Is that just Erica?
No, but it doesn't say her crime.
All right, so now getting back to North Hollywood, where they probably shot this movie, the guy's shot. He's bleeding out. The cops are seen sort of, not looking like they're in a hurry to do anything for him, smoking, sitting around, high-fiving, hanging out. Didn't seem to be in fear of a third gunman.
There was no fear. The only fear was that somebody was going to sue him later on.
Right. And now Mama brings wrongful death. And I sort of, it's just as far as the law goes, it's hard to argue with her.
Because she's right.
They didn't get him help. They were supposed to get him help.
They
weren't in fear of a third guy. It was pretty clear by their actions. So what happened? That case got dropped or thrown out or something.
I think the case was thrown out. Somebody will correct me if I'm wrong. I remember because I passed on that civil case, surprising as that may be, and I just handled
it. You say Sybil?
Sybil. Sybil. Not Sybil. Uh-huh. you kind of, okay.
I like
but
her.
The criminal case, she ended up, we worked it out, gave her a misdemeanor or something. She went on her way.
And she's still alive somewhere.
I have not even thought of her in 15 years.
But it'd be awesome if she was dead, right? God, what a piece of shit.
I never wish that on even my worst enemy.
Oh, why not?
Because karma's a bitch.
Drag a fucking rake over this horrible country of ours. Take out the fucking dead leaves. Oh, my God.
Lawn clippings.
She's such a piece of shit. That was dropped when and by the way, she has a name with 9 umlauts. Like, I don't even know how to begin their name. Anyway,
a waiver of malicious prosecution. You know what that means? Mm-mm. That means if you don't drop this, we're going to sue you when we win, and you're going to pay every penny. So waive it and walk away.
So that's who's saying waive it?
They're saying the LAPD, City of LA is saying you drop this because when you lose, we're going to come after you.
Uh-huh. Kelly James has once again joined us in the studio as we'd talked about. He was out here with his buddy Barry Zito, Cy Young Award winner last time, and good to see you again.
You too.
We'll play something.
Yeah.
You want to? Oh, you don't have to do it yet, but we'll do a little freestyling.
Absolutely.
Would you like to sit back and absorb, you know, some news and some conversation, some stuff like that, and then weave that into your freestyle mix?
I'd love that.
That's the way. Yeah. Is that the process?
I like it to be random, you know, just as random as it possibly can
be. So we start talking James Gandolfini, and the Sopranos tune will come out, the theme song.
No, something that rhymes with Gandolfini.
Right.
It's going to be tough.
I still want to see if Allison gets the local story that intrigues me today.
I feel as if I'm probably not going to.
It's a lot of pressure.
Okay, then I'll just tell you. Did you see where the coroner came out today and said that the woman who was found in the water tank on the hotel downtown, it was an accidental drowning?
Yes.
Do you know this story?
Yes.
Okay. Somebody was down in the hotel and the water pressure kind of goes down.
Yeah, we did that story originally.
Originally, okay.
It was a downtown L.A. hotel with a big water tank up top. Right. Sort of like, you know, looks like New York when you go to New York.
Either
you
that, see that or what was the other one, Green Acres, where they had the
Petticoat
same,
Junction.
Petticoat Junction.
But the same. But
same
who knows?
Thing. Well, it was the same.
We spent, yeah, right. We took like a 15-minute Petticoat Junction detour last time.
We did.
Okay, now, they determined, the coroner, in their infinite wisdom, determined this was an accidental drowning. How? Some tourist who apparently doesn't speak English.
She's like a Canadian tourist, right, I think, but right. She doesn't speak English.
Remember, your argument was if you were in the hotel drinking the water, you should be happy that she was Asian, I think, or Canadian.
Was it Canadian or Asian?
You're fine people,
Canadian.
But Armenians? Heavy set Armenian male? Yeah, would you want him floating around? Knowing you're brushing your teeth?
I don't want him.
With Izzy?
It was a real cups half full look at this.
I don't want Harut floating in my
that's
water.
That's what I'm okay? saying.
Right. Or Armin.
That's so, what I'm saying.
But I don't understand this. I don't get it. She just
put on
figured
a whole bunch of cologne before he left the room. Doused himself.
Well, that was the old Woody Allen joke. How do you commit suicide? Stand next to an Armenian and inhale. Do you remember that?
So, I know. Simpler times. Well, I'm saying if you had a breed and a sex, yes, I call people breeds.
You'd rather
have
a
female.
It's kind of chauvinistic of us, isn't
but
it?
But first we start with female.
Right.
We
agree.
Went ball stew up right. there. Ball teabagging, literally teabagging up
that
there.
Is.
So
wow.
you want a female, and right. then you go Asian. You go smaller and less hair.
Right.
All right, so as I was doing my grief counseling for those who wouldn't right. stop vomiting because they tasted something weird yeah. in the water, I'd go, look, it could be worse. Could be Mark could have been up there.
Right, exactly. Right. Can you imagine that? You'd be dry heaving for days.
Oh, my God.
Explain
yes.
to me how
Elisa
this is
Lam.
An accidental
yes.
drowning. I don't get it.
I couldn't figure it out either. I thought, well, first you thought, well, the body was dumped
right.
up there.
Right, and then, obviously.
And then the second thing is, and people were complaining about low water pressure, but also her essence was in that water.
Right,
I'm,
right.
I'm guessing. But then the other thing is, how does, well, accidental drowning, but think of all the rock stars that have accidentally drowned just because they're drunk and high as a kite and decide
and
to go for a midnight swim.
A midnight swim up on the water tower, which is self-contained and somehow gets inside of there? Is there, I mean, reverse suction up from the shower head? I don't.
She's a small Asian woman. It could have been. Yeah, so first off, she had to go. Oh, yeah.
She doesn't
drink
look
her.
Like someone who would be.
I wish there was
joy diving
right,
in the water
exactly.
tower.
Joy luck diving. I wish, but I wouldn't mind if ice cubes were shaped like her. I really wouldn't. I mean, I don't find her offensive to drink at all. But here's my point. My point is this. She had to go upstairs. She had to go out that door that says the alarm's going to
go off
when you push
exactly.
it, except for it almost never does. So try it anyway, everybody, and then act really surprised when it does. But and then she had to go up on the roof, and this thing should have had a lid on it with a lock.
It's not only that, it's on stilts.
Right.
So she's climbing up because she's on something and decides to lift
well,
up the top.
We have a picture of it, or we had a picture of it. And by the way, I've seen enough movies to know no good can come from water on top of the building. Airplane flies into it. Meteor hits it, slow motion,
yeah.
cascading down the stairs. You know. All right, so the thing that's insane about
yeah.
this is
that intentionally shoots it out to wash
right,
away the
blows
bad guy.
You down. Right, there's a hatch at the top, so she must have crawled up there and climbed inside the hatch.
Yeah, but how did she climb up? Look at the size of those. Those are like four giant beer cans. The
Asian
size
women are like
island.
Spider monkeys. They'll go vertical on your ass in a second. They'll go right up the ceiling. Shoot a web out of their ass.
That's just science.
Cause of death is listed as an accidental death due to drowning and other significant conditions, bipolar disorder.
So if you're bipolar,
that's
you decide to go into the water tower. And I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. In fact, the next time I've got a murder case and I got a coroner on the stand, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask him, okay, you say this was a murder. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the woman who was in the water tower, mm-hmm. that was an accidental drowning, and you want this jury to believe that this was a murder?
Well, how does a coroner work? Obviously, she's got a bunch of water in her lungs and everywhere else.
Right.
But they can tell.
I'm with them on drowning. Okay,
you're with on the drowning.
I'm with him on drowning. I'm not arguing drowning.
Yeah, so there's no bullet shot
right.
and you know, bullet hole and exit wound and then drown. They just drown. She sucked
right.
water into her lungs a certain way.
Exactly. They
but
can take a
saying,
look at the alveolar sacs and determine
right.
it.
Who? Somebody may have walked her up there.
Right. Somebody, and if somebody walked her up there, that's still potentially a homicide. So how is it an accidental drowning?
No, that's what I mean. I mean the homicide part where they walked her up and said, mm-hmm. you know, get in the tank.
Or somebody drowned her in the bathtub downstairs and then said, hey, take her upstairs and put her in there.
Ah. I mean,
this is not exactly the best part of L.A.
Yeah.
So what's your assessment for why they would decide this?
Mm.
Because have you ever seen some of the pathologists who work in the coroner's office?
Yeah. Yeah, my friend's mom did that. Scary lady. Yeah, so there's treachery afoot. And tomfoolery or just treachery?
I think it's treachery. Tomfoolery mm-hmm. is a little bit, yeah, it's more like hijinks.
Yeah, that's right? My gay porn name.
Yeah. No, hijinks would be an Armenian guy, H-Y-E, because that's short for Armenian.
When I came, a flag just came out and said bang on it. Yeah. It cracked everyone up on the set. It was funny.
So, Allison, you did not have this story today.
I did not. I'm so glad that you did.
I saw the story and I thought of you.
Now what about the lawsuit of all the people who stayed at the hotel who drank her?
That's what we call in the business a mass tort.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Not a class action, a mass tort.
So, and what they're going to say is, well, there should have been a lock on that hatch and it was not properly secured.
I would say that when I go to a hotel and stay there, I would hope that my water supply is somewhat untainted. Don't you expect
have
that?
A reasonable expectation. Yes. That it be all Asian free, 100%? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you were the one who wanted it Armenian free. Well, I just wanted, you know, human free.
That's reasonable.
That's reasonable. But now, if they find a lock was cut with deadbolt cutters.
Right.
So
that's a third party, an intruder. That would cut off causation. That would cut off the causation of the foreseeability.
Okay. Right. So now the hotel can still be sued, but not so much because it's not really their negligence. They had a hatch with a lock on it.
They had a hatch with a lock. But if there's evidence of that people had gotten up there before.
Skullduggery?
Well, skullduggery is not bad. But that's more like hijinks. If you had prior hijinks.
I don't know. I don't know. Oh, hijinks, yeah. I feel like tomfoolery and then treachery. But skullduggery is closer to treachery.
Yes, skullduggery is closer to treachery. Hijinks is more like
tomfoolery. You're suspicious that she just went up there and drowned herself.
Yeah, I am. I don't think that bipolar disorder just washes away, excuse the pun, the drowning.
And there are people who are – and by the way, I love these people because you have to coach them up when they go in front of the court. Mark's like, if you could cry – and say that you're scared to drink out of the tap, even though you live in Arkansas, and that you're frightened to take showers for fear
that maybe human remains. You know what the damages are. Now I've got to pay $4 a bottle for Crystal Geyser for the rest of my life. You know that
fill the bathtub with
it. Who is the guy who thought of that? That's pure genius. Putting that little bottle of water in the hotel room now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for all the drunken people that get the cotton mouth from running the air in Vegas and just start sucking on that thing. Yeah. All right. So there's we'll be interesting to see. So you think there'll be a lawsuit from all the people that were there during the entire time she was in that tank?
I would be shocked if somebody hasn't filed.
There was a lawsuit filed in February by Stephen and Gloria Cott, which the fact there was two of them deems it a class action suit. The complaint specifies it could apply to all persons similarly situated.
Mm-hmm.
So that was filed back in February.
But what if it turned out you got some sort of magical superpowers from the Asian woman
like you don't
in the water.
Age anymore?
You don't age. Your penis grows in girth. You know, whatever. Your hair gets shinier. Your teeth get straighter.
That would certainly mitigate your damage.
Yeah, but we'd have a problem with collecting Asians and tossing them in tanks.
You get better at math. You can play the clarinet.
That's right.
For example.
You could get into UCLA. Your kids get into UCLA.
Automatically get a letter of acceptance. Like, I'm 35.
Yeah, it'd be one of those weird moments where they're like in the room and the ditzy blonde just rattled off some complicated math equation and the guy was 40 years her senior was banging her. It's like, what? And she's like, I don't know where that came from.
I just had this magic water.
Yeah. I have this unyielding urge to play the cello.
Ever since that week in the stable center.
Yeah. What's this? I was going through your stuff. I saw a rejection letter from UCLA. What's this about? I don't know. I didn't even apply. I swear to God, I didn't apply. I don't know where this came from. That'd be great.
Well, there's the breakdown of the comedy. No Asians ever been rejected from UCLA.
Right, exactly.
No, they're lousy with Asians now. They have to.
Oh, they turn some away now?
Oh, yeah.
Is there UCLA
too? Well, they don't actually turn them away. They steer them to UC Riverside. So
do they?
Yeah, yeah. If you don't get into the first choice, you go first, second,
but
third.
But UCLA is lousy with Asians and Asian women, I think. And they do so well, they have too many of them. It's a perfect system. So even though you're a greater minority than what – greater than many of the – you know, certainly Hispanic or black, I think you're dwarfed by Hispanic, certainly in California. And – black as well, you and your woman.
Wow. Please weave this into the freestyle.
You cannot get into UCLA because you're a minority woman, you're a minority Asian, you're a smaller minority than Hispanic, but we got enough of you.
That's some rich irony.
Yeah. Quota.
That's some rich irony. The affirmative action is now working against them.
Rich irony was also my porn name. Yeah. No, I don't know. Somebody look it up. But Mark knows. He has college age kids, right?
Yes, I do.
Are they Asian?
No. No. And they didn't drink the water, and they Tenney still got into law school.
Wow.
So look at that.
And that was Adam and Mark talking about that horrific story from 2013.
They did raise a good question, though. If all your fellow coworkers at Curla Digital, if one of them were to die a bloated corpse in a water tank, who would you rather brush your teeth with the water from? Just asking.
Yeah. It's a question that will be... wrestling with for the ages. All right.
I feel like Gary water would be approved by everybody. Everybody would be like, all right, I'll drink the Gary water.
Yeah, I'd probably be in the Gary water boat too. So I think we can all just say, let's just say Gary water. How's that?
After all this, it's going to be very fortuitous for all of us. Yeah.
But you know what is it? What is also quite fortuitous? Tommy John.
Sylvester Stallone trying to say Maria Menounos.
That is definitely one of the things. But also Tommy John, because over the next few weeks, we're all going to be spending a lot of time at home. And that means a comfortable wardrobe of loungewear and underwear that are going to be our best friends. So right now, Tommy John, the revolutionary loungewear and underwear brand that's redefining comfort, is offering you, 20% off your first order. How good is Tommy John, Gio?
This is the best. Now is not the time to be distracted and uncomfortable in store brand underwear. You know who I'm talking about. Go with Tommy John, get that second skin, get that cool cotton. Feel comfortable in these trying times.
That's right. So hurry to TommyJohn.com/classics for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/classics for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/classics. All right. Let's get into another interview. And you were talking about Maria Menounos earlier. Well, she was on back in 2013 along in the same episode as Sarah Bareilles. Now, Sarah Bareilles or Bareilles is an incredible...
I said Bareilles, but we always mispronounce everything. Like, we mispronounced Ray Seahorn. It's Ray, not Rhea, because her name is like Deborah Ray, but she doesn't use the Deborah. But we just saw her like Rhea Seahorn, and we forgot the episode's Ray Seahorn. So Sarah Bareilles, however you pronounce it, we love her. And this is a listener request from Ben. He wanted the interview. He said to turn on her music because he heard it. He's always been hoping she would come back on. This had Maria, Kevin Undergaro, her husband, Sarah, David Wilde, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. It's from June of 2013. We're mispronouncing names all day.
David, Sarah, thanks so much for coming in. I know I was, it was a year ago, maybe a year and a few weeks ago. And good day, Allison Rose.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
And Bald Brian.
Hi, this is Becky Honkington.
I was... watching the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they inducted posthumously Laura Nyro, and I was just watching you do Stony End, and I was just so impressed.
Thank you.
And I just said, David, I want that girl in my studio, and scant 13 and a half months later,
I said, you pow. Cracker, you creepy-ass cracker, I'll do it for you.
I'll get you. And
you ask, you get.
I just thought, first off, do you get nervous with that stuff? Because it's different, but you're performing in front of world-class musicians in the audience. It's not just a bunch of drunken college-age fans.
No, it's like Guns N' Roses and Red Hot Chili Peppers. And yeah, I was terrified. Oh my God, I was so nervous that day. And then standing side stage waiting to go on, I got a pep talk from Carole King. It's like it's like supposed to make you feel better, but then you feel really uncomfortable with that as well. The whole thing was super surreal.
What did she say?
She's like, "Oh, you're gonna be great. It's gonna be fine. They're gonna love you." She's like tiny and she's so slight, and she's really cool. She seems like someone I would want to hang out with.
Shouldn't there be I feel like there's a right thing to say and a wrong thing to say, and I feel like a lot of people say the wrong thing in that moment. A lot of, are you nervous? I'd be nervous. You know, there's a lot of, it's live. You should be nervous. Like,
there's so many people out there.
I almost feel like that would take off the pressure, though. Like, if someone just calls it like it is and you just say, God, you must be freaking out right now, aren't you? I'd be like, yes, thank you. I would feel like there would be communion in that. Like, finally.
How much practice time do you get with the band and everybody? Because it's a big kasha up there. It's a lot of strings and backup singers. And
well, I messed up. The performance is incorrect. And
it is?
If you look back at it.
You're lucky I was drunk, sister.
If you look back at it, at one point you can see me look over at the band and I'm apologizing with my eyes because I screwed up the arrangement. We had two rehearsals, like two run-throughs, you know, a few times, and then I screwed it up. So clearly I'm not the professional.
Well, let's watch a little of it.
Oh, let's do.
You tell me. I have no idea when
you
screwed it up.
I'll walk you through. This will be like director's cut.
Yeah. I was just watching it thinking how impressive it is. And also, I always like it because I think it's what's... Now, you guys... I'm going to say this once and then you forget I've ever said it, right? It's what's uniquely beautiful about this country. You have everybody from all different groups and nationalities and backgrounds, and they all just sort of meld together and create one beautiful instrument.
We can cut that out.
Cut that out.
Yeah. That is the first and most sincere thing I've ever heard you say.
I love it. I love it when I see the Asians going nuts on the cello and the black folks singing away and... Jewish broad who wrote the song, or, you know, I like it.
Now it sounds more like you.
There. And that one sax player with the hat on backwards, it's every time a sax comes out, he's there.
We were talking before you got here, Adam, and, like, Laura Nero was famously a nervous performer, you know, and I think she's one of the greatest artists and one of the least recognized great artists ever. But I actually think Sarah sings this, may God forgive me, a little better than Laura. I don't think Laura ever gave a performance this beautiful. It's just perfect.
Aw, no. You're being
sweet. She's looking up from hell right now enjoying this. Thanks, David. Wow. So when are you going to screw up?
I'll show you.
Okay.
There's a whole other verse. We're going to have to talk about some other...
I like listening to it, and I don't mind looking at it either. I gotta be honest.
Yes.
Oh, fuck, thank God. All right. I'm trying to think of some. I was just looking out and seeing all the famous people that I don't know and who don't have no idea who I am. It was great because Bette Midler introduced me, and then she's like, Sarah Bareilles. She like just
Could you recognize famous faces from the stage?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And
oh,
for
the
some
Rock and Roll
reason,
Fame, the front row is crazy every year. This year it was insane.
And for some reason, I was at the Guitar Gods table. So it was me and ZZ Top and Derek Trucks. And I'm like, I don't know why I'm here.
You gonna screw up?
Yeah. Just wait. Oh, but I just hit the money note here, guys. Hang on to the money note. Here it comes. It's gonna come, I promise. I'm sorry, we had to listen to the whole thing. Oh, get it. But you can see me, I'm starting to feel pretty good because I'm like, towards
the
end,
note.
I'm like,
you hit the
I'm like,
the money note.
And I'm supposed to go to a different section here, and then I sang the wrong thing. Here I go. I'm going to look. My voice cracks because I'm nervous. And I'm like, oh, shit. Sorry, guys. But they were super professional.
If you're going to do that.
But
that's
totally fucked that up.
But that's the time to do it. You hit the note. Like, you're walking on sunshine at that point.
Oh, yeah. Pretty good, though. Yeah. And then I get overconfident and then I fuck everything up. That's like my jam.
In fact, then she broke into Walking on Sunshine. It was a really great tribute to Katrina and the Waves.
But it's an interesting psychological thing, which is in whatever endeavor, you have these sort of little marks that you go, well, this is trouble. These are the rapids. And if I can get through these rapids, then I'm good. Mm. And so emotionally, you're worried about that high note, and then you nail that high note, and then you just sort of let off. Oh. Like you go, all right, I got this race won, but there's still a couple laps to go. You just decide to start cruising a little bit.
Speaking of race, like that dude, the rookie driver, remember, who did the lap, was about to win the whatever it was, Indy 500.
Dan Weldon.
Came around the last.
Oh, not Dan. Yeah.
But the dude who came around the last turn, it was his to win, and he just, whatever, lost his concentration, went in the wall.
That's a wow. weird, you know, to me, that's
his race to win. It was the last quarter
It's the most, it's, to me,
I just want to be clear, are you making a comparison between me? Yeah, do you feel like I just, like,
that was yours to win. That was yours to win.
Ball he's just fire. Kissing Adam's ass because he's a car, like, race car
crash
driver.
And burn.
No, I couldn't, again, that was... Barely a missed shift. I could not even hear any gears grinding or any double pumping of the clutch or anything. I watched that more times than I'm comfortable admitting.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Thanks to the magic of TiVo, I just would enjoy it on a nightly basis. Just be sitting there on my queue, and I'd leave it at that one spot, and then I just go back and watch you perform again. I really enjoyed it.
Awesome, thanks.
But the whole. Dan Weldon thing and the whole Indy 500 thing is a weird thing that I'm not, you know, I'm not religious, but I am in sort of the great magnet. Mm. There's a certain, I always just called it the great magnet. And the guy who you're talking about as a rookie is, well, we'll figure out his name. But that guy on the last lap went on to just hit the wall when he shouldn't have. I mean, he was just—he could have coasted and won the Indy 500 as a rookie. Hildebrand was his name. He talked to me at a race. He came up to me and announced himself as the guy who came in second at the Indy 500. It was that big a deal a few years ago. The guy who won, J.R. Hildebrand, the guy who won, Dan Weldon, was the greatest gift anyone could give you because you're in second place by a mile. And the next thing you know, this guy makes this incredible mistake on the very last corner, the very last lap, and you win the Indy 500. And then 3 months later, he was dead in Las Vegas at the Las Vegas Speedway.
Oh, so you like the one who was supposed to do Apprentice?
He was the one who Andretti, when I was doing Apprentice, Andretti went to Vegas to do the Vegas race. And then I was, you know, it's like I was talking. I was his teammate. I was talking to him on Friday night. It's like I go to Vegas to do this race, and his teammate died. In Vegas. So you go from the greatest fortune, and then you wonder what pulled Hildebrand into the wall. You know what I mean? Like, was this guy supposed to leave this earth 3 months from now, so we're going to give him the biggest win in his career? What or does this all just sound like crazy bullshit to you guys?
I think Sarah's influence making you much deeper.
I'm really
and
thinking
more
about
emotionally
it.
Complex. So I've never. It's very profound. All of a sudden,
when those Asian broads sing back up. Oh no! Wait a minute. I got that crew wrong.
No, right. You don't know. Adam is turning over a new leaf. He's trying to be less angry.
I'm sensing.
I am. I'm getting nicer.
I noticed that.
I can't do it while I'm driving, but other places.
I have a question for Sarah. Yeah. On your new album is because I think of Laura Nyro as the patron saint of soulful. New York white chicks, like she's the greatest ever. And your new album, is this like your New York? Is there any did the spirit of Laura touch you at all on this new record? Because this is your first record, the blessed unrest. I'm saying that correctly. It's a New York. It has a New York feel. There's a song on there called Manhattan. That's beautiful, like one of your best songs yet. But is there kind of a Laura Nyro New York vibe at all? You think?
I suppose. I mean, in a way, I definitely think the city just it has informed the sound. Intensely. I don't think you can be in New York and not sort of like reek of it a little bit, you know? It's very infectious in that way.
Is it the blessed unrest or?
I say the blessed unrest because it sounds better.
Available, by the way, July 16th. And you're going to go grab it over there on Amazon. Click to adamcarolla.com and bless us a little bit.
I would pre-order it so they don't run out.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. They're
smart.
Not making very many of these records. So
smart.
So go now.
Get them. Go
so
now.
are you in the city? You live in?
I just moved to the West Village. I've been in L.A. for 14 years. And
oh, really?
Yeah. I came here. I grew up in Eureka, Northern California, and then came here to go to UCLA and then kind of just stuck. And
UCLA to study music or to study
no,
what?
No, I studied communications and I got a minor in Italian. I tried to take a music placement exam before the freshman year started, and I don't know anything about theory, so it was – I literally looked at the test and, like, turned it over and was like, I don't fucking know any of this shit, so I'm done.
Are your parents educators or are they professionals? Like, they wanted you to follow your – be educated, or I'm not be educated, but I mean, no, it's like not follow
like
music
to
or
keep me as dumb as possible. My parents, no, my dad is an insurance adjuster, and then also had like a logging business in the summer. The logging is a big industry.
It's a lot of range. Although it's a good business to be in where like, guys are using chainsaws and climbing up trees with spikes.
My dad was a rabbi and a smelter, so I relate very much.
Do you think that guy on the job site at the logging would be super cautious or super risky? Like, yeah, go ahead up there.
No, he's like, he's taken care of. He's like, got it. He's
I don't know, but the lumberjack competition is the least Jewiest, most insane competition in the world. There's three or four events. They have the one where the guy has, there's like the unlimited competition with the chainsaw, where the guy just has a snowmobile motor that's been modified and it weighs 200 pounds and it's on a thing that's 20 feet long. It's unwieldy, and they're seeing, and there's smoke flying out of the thing, and it's just blades flying everywhere. Then there's the crazy one where they make a notch in the log. They quickly make a notch and they shove a plank in it. Then they jump up on the plank and they start whacking away. But you keep thinking, when that plank goes on the backswing, that axe is going into the fucking stands and it's razor sharp. Then there's all the hand stuff. But then there's the craziest one of all is up the pole as fast as they can go.
Yeah,
with the rope. But then the race isn't to the top, it's to the bottom. So the fastest way to the bottom, you know, if you're a little behind when you get to the top, just go ahead and lift the rope, move your feet, and you just drop.
My favorite thing to see lumberjacks do, and I don't know if this is something that lumberjacks really do or just things I've seen in movies, where they put a log in the water and then they run on it.
Part of the competition.
You know, I have family that does that.
Really?
My dad's cousin, half my family.
The fuck, you've been sitting on this information for what, 10 years now?
Half my family's from Canada, from Vancouver area.
What?
And, and
this never comes up.
My dad's cousin.
It's a goddamn outrage.
My dad's cousin is like, I don't know if he's professional, if he can be professional. Back when I was younger, he did this stuff like that was his thing. He did the strap, the whack, whack, all the way up. He had the spiked shoes. The spikes were in the insole, like in his heel. Not his heel, but his instep.
Yeah.
And you hike all the way up, and you hike all the way down, and he did the axe throwing and all that stuff.
The log rolling, I love that.
Does that even, like, the other things you have to do that within, you know, the industry. Like, you have to get up the tree, you have to cut things down. Do you ever have to, like, run on a log, though? Or is that, maybe if you're cutting trees near a river,
then
you drop something.
That was their version. I mean, you know, this is
they're embellishing.
It's wood flare.
No, but I mean, this is back before.
It's like a macho Lord of the Dance.
There's no TiVo or U-Porn in the woods. You know, these guys got to keep themselves entertained. You know what I mean? There's a lot of keeping themselves.
They're just bored.
Entertained.
That's kind of like there's no atheists in foxholes. There's no U-Porn in the woods.
Well,
some way to get wood.
You got to figure out a way to keep yourself kind of amused.
Yeah.
Also, you know, someone's got to be the best at something. But the great part is where they get going one direction, and then they stop. They do a lot of eye contact.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all psyching each other out.
It's very intimate. And then they'll do the one. There's a strategy where you just look at the person and go, you ready to go? And they'll go as fast as they can just to see if they can knock you off. And then there's the dog part. They get the labs in there jumping off the pier.
Oh, I never saw that part.
Oh, there's a whole dog competition where they run off the edge of the pier and they get like 22 feet, you know, the chocolate lab just diving off. I don't know if it's part of the lumberjack or an extension of it.
Was this the average weekend in Eureka that Adam is describing?
Yes. Yes. Well,
so, and Mom did what?
Same thing, log rolling. A lot of lumberjacking.
Really?
Lumberjaning. No. My mom worked at Kinko's for a long time, and then she worked as a funeral director after that. She worked as a secretary for my dad when I was really young, and then they split up, and that relationship got awkward, and so she got a job at Kinko's. And then, the funeral thing was after I was already gone to school, so... Because I'll say that and people are like, oh, my God, did you see dead bodies? And no, I never saw any dead bodies.
But the notion of – I always say this. Actually, I was saying it yesterday, which is everybody – that the same human beings have days where they have to go to the dentist or have something biopsied or something like that or you know, get a parking ticket or whatever it is. And then there's, hey, we're taking a guided tour through Disneyland where we get to go up to the front of the line and all that. So the same human beings can have a great day or the same human beings can be the ones that are receiving the parking ticket or getting something biopsied. I don't understand why you'd want to see everyone on their worst day all the time.
Like, I don't either.
You want to be in the. I mean, you work at Hooters. You don't have a lot of shitty days. You're catching people in a good mood. In other words,
yeah.
What's the best job for always seeing people at their best?
Flopper.
Yeah, I was thinking. There's a guy who holds the giant foam core check when Ed McMahon shows up.
Issuing checks for like a game show or something.
I
was out.
Yeah,
like
I was thinking that, game show too. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, the good looking chick stands next to the stack washer dryer set and, you know, does the thing with her hands, you know, like, hey, look at, I don't know how much we need her. I feel like she's pulling focus, trying to stare at the Kenmore. And I'm staring at her, but she's moving her hands. Like, hey, there we go.
But if you're a nice person at a funeral home, you do a lot of good in the world. Having gone through that with my dad not that many years ago, if you have an asshole on that day, that makes the worst day of your life worse. And if you have a nice person, it gets you through it. So I think that's actually a great thing.
That's what it fed for her is she felt like she could get – my mom is very comforting, and she felt like she could give people comfort, and that made her feel good. But ultimately, it took a toll, and she had to
bail. You need comfort at Kinko's, too, though.
Yeah. Kinko's is the worst place on earth.
Someone described it, and I agree. It feels like you're in the inside of a microwave.
Why? Is it the lighting?
Oh, kill the Kinko's
yes.
ad.
That's why it's gone.
Yeah. It's Kinko's
– it was like – when
it,
I would
it
go,
smells like toner, right?
It's just everyone's angry and late with their shit that was like, and they don't know how to use anything.
Nothing works.
It's all like too expensive and disorganized, and the binding is backwards, and you know.
And it's people pulling drawers out of the printer and trying to find things, and then with that feeling that you're going rogue because really it should be a Kinko's employee doing it.
Totally. And then really what you're trying to do is make the calendar with like your grandkids on it.
Yeah. Exactly.
You struck a chord with me, clearly.
I hate Kinko's so
much.
I hate it so much.
We now return
Kinko's,
to
baby.
first world proms with Sarah Nelson. Oh, and they only have goldenrod. They don't have the Mustang or Ecru. They're just goldenrod. And I know. This is why the world hates us, because we're devastated that the Kinko sucks. That I couldn't get my dog's picture on the mug was a little askew, just a little bit, and it's a total disaster, and I want to kill myself now. Yeah.
That was me on my worst day, though. A Kinko's employee would have seen that any time I had to go to Kinko's, because I've been always putting it off for months. David, you know, this was back in the day when you had to make copies of your articles.
Oh, yeah.
And it was always – I would put it off for months and months, then I would go in, and it would really be the worst day of my life.
Yeah. Everyone they're dealing with is on a deadline, behind, screwed up.
Yeah.
Never work. Here's one where no one's ever happy. Car rental. Place at the airport. Every time I pull up, somebody's going, why do I bother making a reservation if you're not going to? Yeah. I ordered a full size. Your guys give me a Yaris. I don't need a Yaris right now. And then a lot of like Sophie's Choice stuff going on where we're like, we have two Denalis left and there's five of you. Well, you know, I have important meeting in town. Like there's a lot of begging.
That is a lot like the Holocaust, Adam.
Yes. No, it's not as – I mean, it's obviously not quite as bad, but it's bad. You work – and then there's a lot of the ones that are affiliated with the other one where you go to the Alamo and it's like, oh, well, Hertz is our parent company, so maybe it's on their computer. And everyone seems like they're in a shitty mood and everyone's driving a beige car with a bad
interior. Why do they only have PT Cruisers? Like when you go to rent things?
They just have shitty American cars. Yeah. And then there's a lot of confusion. Like there's that move where they go, you want to do the free fill-up? We can do the fill up here, but you can fill up yourself. I don't care how fucking rich I get. I'm always like, no, I'll, we're going to fill it up. And then there's some argument over how much and all that bullshit. And then there's the insurance part. Mm-hmm. I never
get
insurance.
Walking around the car, like marking the ding.
I don't like that judging. I just had that with a valet guy. Where the guy had to walk around the car, and then you see him at a certain point. The car's pristine. He has to reach down, and, okay, come on, asshole. There's nothing there. It's a fucking dead bug. You're not going to circle that on your weird – and by the way, that's like – it's a weird corners thing where they have like a car carcass,
flattened
like
out.
A body, and they're drawing like bullet wounds and stuff. You know that person?
On the diagram of the car.
No. We should give that – I don't know who that dude is, who they use. They have a woman – and a dude I feel like we need some different ethnicities represented in that. It's just the one.
Might be hard to write on.
Well, we could use a different color. We could use like a China marker for the black people. And then there's no hair. I feel like the person needs some hair. You know what I'm talking about? Whenever they're filling out
hair.
The thing?
I know. I really
You could lend them some hair. All right. Let's see what I want to do. David Wild.
Sir.
Sarah, do you have a – do your people say you have an out? Do you have an out? A hard out?
7:45 is my
out. Oh, okay. Yeah. Good. Well, you can sit there and listen to me complain.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Can I mention one other song from her record, from Sarah's record? There's the single that's out or been out is a song called Brave that I love. But you have to see the video or you can hear the song. But Rashida Jones, who has got to come in soon, and I think I've talked to about coming in, directed it. And the two of them made this amazing video for a great song. And I think the lyric is very much – it's not about you, but it could be.
Could be about me.
It's about being brave, and I feel it's about a more morally upstanding person, I think. But no one could be as brave as you. So if you want to play brave a little, I think it would be a good idea.
Listen, just because you're a puss, that doesn't make me brave.
No, you are. Listen to the lyrics. They're not. It's about someone coming out, so it's close to you in a way. But it is very Adam Carolla.
All right, we got a little of that. It's going to, we got the video.
This is all hidden camera stuff.
Oh.
So it was actually hidden cameras. You can be
amazing, you can turn a phrase into a weapon. So we're watching a guy dancing now.
It's really high def. Outcast to be the backlash
of somebody's lack of love. And they don't know they're... But Dan to sign off to get on the video, right?
So the dancers are with me, but we went into public places all around LA, and then they just were dancing. They had a little earwig, like headpiece, that where they were hearing the music, and then they were dancing, and then the people around them were confused, understandably so. We tried to get dancers that were just sort of normal people. Like, I didn't want to do like super fancy, although he's amazing.
She's giving it up. That was a face
plant.
My
friend Summer Shapiro.
Summer didn't get enough attention from Daddy growing up because she just did a full face plant in the concrete. And is she in Chinatown?
Yeah.
That's one of the worst pieces of concrete to hit, the Chinatown concrete.
I'm in Pershing Square.
How did you and Rashida come up with the idea?
I wanted to do like a flash mob. And then we saw this really cool video about a girl dancing. She was dancing in LAX, and we kind of got the idea about that. And then just wanted to expand on that idea and bring it to a bunch of different places. So sort of brave to put yourself out there in a public space and dance like an absolute idiot.
Like, is there a place that would surprise us, like, you know, you're huge in Hungary or
I am
Germany?
Huge and hungry. And that is
is there a place? Is there an Asian country? Is there a place?
Oh, God. I don't know.
You
I
have
wish.
To find that stuff out, though,
I mean,
right?
I wish. I don't think so. But I mean, I would love to start a rumor. Singapore. I did pretty well in Singapore. I don't know. Like, I haven't toured Asia that much, but the Philippines actually are pretty lovely fans.
Brian told an amazing story before you got in about in Italy. Can you talk about that?
Well, you know, I was stuck in Italy for a week after that volcano erupted, and I was stuck there and had to make our way around the country for not knowing where we were going to stay or going to do. And we had just downloaded Sarah's album, and it became the soundtrack to our whole trip. And obviously, it was a very celebratory trip for us. And
that's awesome.
The volcano was up in the air, and it was fucking up all the jets.
It grounded every airplane in Europe,
right.
And people were stuck.
That was insane.
And some people could take the train back to their countries, but obviously it's not the case for us.
Yeah. Right. But if you got to get stuck somewhere.
I was going to say, Italy, as I was saying earlier, not the scariest place in the world to be stuck. And it helped that we had Sarah's album to sort of be the soundtrack for our time there.
You're welcome for that, I think, is what you're trying to say.
It's kind of interesting because it's like when you make a mix cassette back in the day and you would use that mix cassette on like a road trip and then all those songs get kind of burned into the into your psyche.
Totally.
And you remember that time. So it's got to it's weird. Like I don't know if stuff is too accessible now to do you feel like kids are having too many experiences? Like you had,
I feel like the attention span is so short, don't you?
Yeah, and right. they have so much music at their fingertips in a way that we didn't. I mean, I remember when you would go on a trip, if you brought your Discman or whatever, you had to choose which albums to take with you. Mm. It was
right.
Like, okay, I want these six or these ten or whatever. Whereas now you have your whole, all your music is right there, so
yeah.
You don't listen to it.
But it's not only music. I think it's everything. Like just everything's flying at them so fast. That those sort of moments, you know, that you have those, you know, you would remember when you went to the Grand Canyon with your parents that one time when you were nine or whatever it was, and a handful of experiences. But there's, at least with my kids, there's something flying at them every day. Your kids are eating sushi with Bob Dylan right now.
They're here.
Yeah, no.
But Bob's back. Yeah, serving.
They're Skyping him in.
Exactly.
But the point is, it's like everything is just – my kids go from one cool event to the next cool event, and I don't know how – I don't know if you have room to have them all
processed
and etched in and become a memory.
Or is that your kids have access to super cool things?
Well, my kids are super spoiled. Except for one of the problems with being spoiled is you don't really know it. You just think whoever's telling you you're spoiled is a dick.
That's the hallmark of being spoiled.
It's like when someone's drunk and you're telling them, yes, you calling me an asshole means you have a problem with booze. And then they go, fuck you. And then they throw a bottle at you. It's not satisfying. You know, I should plan an intervention where I take them to a place with no plasma screens. And
do you put restrictions on like their use of electronics at all, or do you?
No, I do. I have no restrictor plate, no governor back to racing on my parenting. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have this basic theory that there's no filter anymore. It's all coming at them at light speed. They're sitting there on their iPads and their tablets and God knows what. And I now have this thing where it's just everything is going to hit them. And your whole job is to prepare them as human beings for all that is going to hit them.
Spectrum,
not to get them to avoid what it is inevitably going to hit them, because I don't feel like avoiding it's going to work anymore. They're
totally.
Used to kind of be like, you know, no TV after 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's when the shows get a little bit racy or whatever it is. Now it's just all the time, wherever. And it's on every device. And it's just – it's coming from all directions.
Yeah, my wife did a good job of trying to make control somewhat. But after a certain point, once they get a certain age, you can't control anything.
Yeah.
They go anyone's house. They're seeing everything. Like I took my kids to the Kubrick exhibit the other day and it's like – my younger son said, oh, yeah, I've seen, like, what was it, Full Metal Jacket. And I'm like, really? It's like, I would be the one to tell you when you're going to see these crazy movies. By the way, there's one mutual friend you have in common who maybe you should bring up, Ben Folds. You know, Sarah worked with him and was on TV with him. And I know he's one of the other people you like in music.
I enjoy Ben quite a bit.
He's a good dude.
Great
Has
piano
he been
player.
On the show?
Oh, yeah. Great guy, great personality, great sense of humor. And, I love that guy's art, you know. I just love his music. And I always love the fact, and I was just sort of use him as an example, which is that guy just has no rearview mirror when it comes to art. It's like he just powers forward. He just wants to work with somebody else, do something else, do an album with Shatner, like just crazy stuff. Everyone else is dusting off something and bringing it back and doing a hip hop version of some hit they had, you know, 20 years ago. He just seems like he just creates.
Yeah.
But also because he can.
Very prolific individual. Absolutely. Like he does. But he also he gave great advice to me. We worked together. He produced an album of mine, an EP that I did 2 years ago. And he was just about the writing process, because of course, like, he's one of my musical heroes. Like,
you guys should mate.
We did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, we didn't.
We really need to. I mean, for society.
For the fans.
Yeah, for the fans. We'll just do it for the fans.
Well, like a super generation of crazy piano playing.
Yeah.
You know, songwriting. You know what I mean? Like, don't you feel like your offspring?
It's sort of an obligation. I can sort of look at it that
kind
way.
Kind of a societal thing. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
I'll look into it.
Ben tried that line. It didn't work.
Yeah. I do. I say that stuff. People think I'm joking. I'm not really. Not that much. I mean, you know, because you could hook up with a logger, and they could just go that direction.
Yeah.
You know, that could that.
That's true.
You know what I mean? But if you hooked up with Ben, we'd pretty much.
I don't know. Maybe does it cancel itself out? I thought, you know, it might. I mean.
Well, we got to find out.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only one real way to find this out.
That's so true.
This segment has been sponsored by Ben Folds.
Yeah. And I mean, it'd be a lot of pressure. But the good news is, you know, boy or girl, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You put them down at the piano early. Ben would have to write a song about.
Yeah.
Your child and name it, you know, at least you'd get that out of it.
Yeah.
You know, even if the relationship went south,
sure.
You get a really cool song about your
kid. His biggest hit was about knocking someone up. So there is, this could be
brick.
Good for him. It could be the single.
Cycle. Yeah. Brick part
he's got
two.
Brick.
Brick 2.
Brick 2.
Another just, brick in the wall.
We'll he's got
name the kid Brick.
Oh,
two.
Boy.
Brick 2.
Also, I do. He also has a good song about his kid, too, I think. I don't.
He probably does.
Yeah. We'll have to figure that one out. I think it's.
Oh, the one, the girl's name?
Oh, yeah,
great song.
Yeah.
I know it.
Yeah.
I love that song.
All right, now let me find. All right, here's what we got to find. We got to find that. We got to find John Hiatt did a song called Georgia Ray about his daughter, which is just, I love. It makes me. Is it Gracie? No, I don't know.
Yeah, Gracie.
Is it Gracie?
That's his daughter's name.
Yeah, that's Gracie.
All right, nice job. The Porcelain Punisher, Matt Fondelier found that.
I have a John Hiatt song.
We have Georgia Ray? Oh, all right, good. Georgia Ray's probably, yep. Georgia Ray's probably, the song's got to be from Bring the Family or Slow Turning or something like that. So,
Slow Turning.
What's up?
Slow Turning.
Slow Turning? So what year are we talking about here?
88.
So Georgia Ray's probably in rehab now.
It's sweet when you write a song about your kid. Then there's people who write songs about other people's kids. That's a little creepy. A little creepy.
Yeah.
Well, hey Jude.
Hey.
That was you know, that was that one for Julian.
I had that one called Hot Neighbor Kid by the pool. It didn't
take
I mean, off. I don't sing, but I can write. But it was no takers.
No takers.
All right, let's play it. Keep playing it. It just makes me want to knee my dad in the nuts.
For not writing a song for you?
Yeah.
But you know what's tricky about that is if you write a song for the first kid, you have more kids.
Oh, yeah.
You got to write more songs for the other kids, and maybe those other songs aren't as inspired or as good. Mm. But I have a friend who writes a song for every child, and some of those songs just feel like an obligation.
Yeah, one
honest.
Sounds a little like Marriott, a Little Lamb. Yeah. I love a good, simple line like, you never know what she might do before her doing days are through. I just love a good, simple,
it sums up life
straight line like that. All right. Let's listen. What the hell?
Until you, John Hiatt was the last artist that Adam liked, so that's why we're hearing John.
Yeah. All right.
And that's Sarah Bareilles hanging out back in 2013. Huge fan of her music, and as you all heard, Adam is too. He loves talent, and he's played that clip of her playing the piano with that orchestra many times, so it's kind of cool to hear Sarah talk about how she wasn't actually a big fan of that performance. So most people, they couldn't even tell. So she's very... That just shows how skilled
she is. Props to David Wild for helping get her in there.
Our Coyote, we've mentioned it before, yeah.
And, yeah, Vanessa Carlton. who else did he get? He got Michelle Branch.
Jeff Lynne. Yeah, I
was thinking more like young singer-songwriter chicks that maybe not guessing the Crowley show.
I saw there was a theme going. But anyway.
You got some dudes, too.
Yeah. Anyway, huge fan of her. Hopefully she can come back. and check out her live album where she's just playing piano solo and singing. It's quite good. All right, before we get going with the next clip, I want to remind everybody about Credible.com. Now, who is Credible.com? Well, they're an online marketplace that gets you to pre-qualified student loan refinancing rates from up to 10 different lenders. So they help people get out of student loan debt. And if you've got student loan debt, this is how you can benefit, all right? With a lower rate, you could save on interest or lower your monthly payment. And with a shorter loan term, you could get debt-free faster. So consolidate all your student loan bills in one place. Credible customers have given awesome reviews about how much better their lives have been after refinancing their student loans. So for Corolla Classics, all you got to do is visit credible.com/classics. All right, all the listeners of this show, that's credible.com/classics. And when you refinance your student loans using that link, they'll give you $200 gift card. It doesn't get better than that. So make sure to go to credible.com/classics. All right, let's get with another clip. This is from Nick. Now, Nick has multiple requests for clips.
Well, he has a single request, but he's getting two clips. This is San Diego Nick, who apparently is a guy I know who's best buddies with Dune, who's appeared on Matt Fondelier's old show, kind of friend of the network, friend of mine, good buddy, and he wrote a request, and he said, hey, Jim and Chris, love the show, appreciate all the content. I can listen to statutory rock bits forever, but I'm not sure if my favorite one has ever been covered on Corolla Classics yet. It was the gang breaking down the music video for Benny Mardonis, Into the Night, a few years ago. I think it was the hardest I've ever laughed in my life. I believe Art Alexakis was the guest that episode. Thanks a lot, guys. Also, Dune says hi, and cheers from San Diego.
Aw.
Very sweet. Cheers right back at you, Nick, and say hi to Dune for me, even like I just text him. And do. What he's asking for is we're going to play, let's see, right here. This is Art Alexakis and Graham Parker, David Wild, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop, episode 1548, April 2015. They break down the song a little bit, but the breakdown of the video was actually on episode 1779, which we will play next. They're both fairly short, so you're going to get all your Benny Mardonis comedy in. You're starting with this one.
You know, one I've never, Graham Parker song, we need to look up, Can't Be Too Strong. Nothing
you
better.
Can't be, you Can't Be Too Strong. What a song.
You Can't Be Too Strong. Never, nothing better than a good abortion song. And, you know, like, you remember when he found out Brick was about abortion, and he got weird sort of Willy's Chilies?
Right.
Is that a medical term?
If you listen to
Willy's
this,
Chilies.
If you want to hear a song that predated Brick by maybe 15, 18 years, here's a good abortion song.
Did they tear it out with talons of steel?
Oh, Jesus.
And give a shot
so that you wouldn't feel and washed it away.
And it's where the title, Squeezing Out Sparks, comes from.
No,
it is. Really? It comes up in the song.
It's just a mistake I won't have to face. Don't give it a name. Don't give it a place. Don't give it a chance. It's lucky in a way. It must have felt strange to find me inside you. I had unintended to stay.
Like I wasn't bummed out enough when I was 17.
Wanna keep it right, put it to
my dad would walk in and go, yeah, shit, why didn't we?
First dust in the wind at that assembly
right,
and this song.
This.
Can't be too strong. You can't be too strong. Can't be too strong. You decide what's wrong. Well, I ain't gonna cry. Gonna rejoice and shout myself dry and go see the boys. They'll laugh when I say I left it overseas. Yeah, babe, I know it gets dark down by Luna Park, but everybody else is squeezing out a spark that happened in the heat.
I don't think that's abortion,
somewhere
though.
In the dark.
This?
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Oh, yeah. Some people have called this the greatest pro-choice, anti-choice song in music history. And he's a pretty liberal guy, but I think this song, he really got at the moral conundrum pretty well. Wishes to God he was dead, but you can't be too strong. You can't be too strong.
Can't be too strong. All right. Well, you get it. So, if you're doing the abortion playlist.
My next one on Songs Up.
Well, from now on, it's only been Brick from this day on.
And You're Having My Baby. That's like the three.
That's the one that wants to. You want to spontaneously abort when you hear it. By the way, there's nothing creepier than the 70s. You know what I mean? There's just nothing creepier. It's like, hey, I put my seed in you. Now it's growing, and I dig it. Like, it's so fucking
it's
weird.
Clinical.
It's the weirdest fucking song on
but
the planet.
But also, the late 60s, early 70s was that time when there were all the creepy guy, young girl, get out of my... Like,
sure.
A lot of young girl songs that were like, hold on, how young is this
like
girl?
Like, they're trying their hardest not to be a pedophile. Like, exactly. Get out of my heart. Get out of here.
Well, there was a lot of countdown to statutory rape songs. Like, look, baby, you got about 8 minutes before I lock the door to this van.
Yep.
So leave now.
I'm lighting the candles.
Take your ponytail and your oversized lollipop and clear out. Go home to mama.
Yeah.
Because in a few minutes, it's raping time. Like, but fair warning, I've decided to write a song.
Yes.
A sort of pre-rape song.
About what I will do to
what
you.
What I will be doing to you very shortly.
These were the sensitive singer-songwriters. The sensitive, predatory singer-songwriters.
I know there's a little girl behind the makeup and the pigtails. I don't want to have to rape you, but...
you can see the dilemma I'm in.
Yes.
They really like to leave a paper trail.
Well, did you see all those movies like, you know, Alien and stuff like that? Once they put self-destruct into the thing...
It has to be pressed.
Once the rape switch is thrown, there's no undoing it. There's simply a countdown
until,
to raping.
Yep.
Right. So the countdown has begun.
You can't avert.
Creepiest of all time, Benny Mardones, a little later, Into the Night.
Yeah, because he starts moaning at the end.
She's only 16 years old.
She's only 16 years old, and there's a lot of moaning. Minutes of moaning.
I. By the way, it goes, she's just 16 years old. Leave her alone.
They say.
Right.
The
yes.
law actually says that, I'm pretty sure.
That's right.
Most states.
That's right. Mm-hmm. There's, I don't know, there's one island in the Hawaiian chains where they'll look the other way. But, they's everybody.
Ooh, there it is. Creepy.
And by the way, he wants to take her into the night. Which means into the forest for like raping. Like,
oh, I thought then like it'll put you to sleep.
Oh,
like I'll take you to Sleepy Town.
I'm picturing more. Remember the guy out of like, what was it in like Utah where he's doing work on the house and he kidnapped the girl and took her to his like little lean-to out in the woods.
His outhouse.
Yeah.
This is, I'm sure, with that guy and who had all the women in Pennsylvania or whatever. I think this was his favorite song. Plus, what made it creepier is look at the picture of Benny Mardones. Like, Gary Puckett being creepy with a young girl, he was a good-looking guy. But Benny Mardones is a scary predator.
Well, not only that, but this is Benny Mardones' only hit. So when he's playing all the fucking county fairs, he has to start every set with, she's well over 18 years old. Leave her alone. Don't know why. Like, you know how they change it when a girl sings a boy song she goes, boy, I've been, and then your girl does the girl. He has to modify
for age.
Right. For legal reasons.
Right.
Yep. She's legal.
Yeah.
She's an emancipated minor, able to make her own decisions legally.
Yeah, like Dire Straits when they're singing Money for Nothing.
Yeah, you can't say
that LGB community is doing nothing and getting their chicks for free. That little LGB community guy's a millionaire.
That's right. LGBT, someone sensitive or a friend or associate?
Ally.
That's right.
We should make a whole list of songs that we have to go back and modify for the live version.
That's a good point.
Because he can't start with she's just 16-year-old, but it's his only hit, and the first thing out of his mouth.
That's the first line of the song.
You think he just goes, she's just 19 years old.
I'm sure he does not sing the 16-years-old part.
Well, how does he start the song?
That's the first line.
I think he does.
Really?
And I think if we go to YouTube, we could find him at a state fair doing it yesterday.
You have way more faith in Gary than he's ever displayed in this job. I'm just being here. Yesterday's a tall order, Gary.
Young money, cash money.
All right, so you say he still goes with 16.
I'm saying he's 16.
I say
he's fixed it. I think it just gets better and better as he turns 60.
And those
state fairs are family-friendly affairs, man. Mm. You can't be singing about 16.
Yeah, but a lot of those state fairs, 16's cool.
All right.
Young money, cash money.
That's all I got to say about that.
You know, you don't want super horny guys out there and a lot of funnel cakes in the vicinity. You know, that's a
dangerous combination.
Yeah. Yeah. Fried Snickers.
I didn't know they frosted funnel cakes. Well, normally they don't frost them, but in this case they do. All right. We'll talk about that in a second. All right. August of 2013 is what Gary found.
Still says 16.
Still says 16.
Yes. I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
I got a mustache.
You can't
that.
Change mm-hmm. art. You don't. Mm-hmm. You don't put a mustache on a
Mona
Picasso
Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Or Mona Lisa.
Mm-hmm. All right. The audio is bad, so
so's a song.
So we won't play. But if he does find a good one, we'll see. All right, Benny Mardones, everybody.
Yeah, that's a Tool tune.
No other hits, right?
No other hits.
Okay,
that's a Tool tune.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah,
and
enjoyable.
Then he starts. He's taking her into the night.
That's right.
I would never turn that song off in my car, but
no.
I generally wouldn't admit to liking it.
But you roll the windows up when it comes
yeah,
on.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a Tool tune.
Starts, and just he does all the moaning at the end as well. All right.
Wailing. At the moon, and they take him in the night.
Cat in heat. All right.
It was a great episode, and it's always funny to hear them break down the statutory rock music. They got a little Gary Puckett in there as well. But the clip I think he actually wanted was this one, 1779. I actually synchronized this one with the audio. You can find it on the internet on YouTube. It's a great thing to watch. This is from Theo Von and David Wild on episode 1779. This was recorded in March of 2016, and this is the second clip for San Diego Nick.
You're running it. It's running backwards, Gary.
No.
He started on the carpet.
Yeah, he'll take him into the night, remember?
We'll see how they got there.
Well, the one I watched was a different version, well, or it started in the middle or something. But anyway, he's come through her window.
He goes full Aladdin.
This is where I started. There's an old guy who's younger than he is. By the way, her dad, who's 6 years his junior, has just explained to him that he's too old to bang his underage daughter.
Always a good move when the guy mouths the lyrics as other dialogue.
Yes. Now,
why is Caitlyn Jenner talking to us?
Uh-oh.
I tell you, I mean, listen, I don't know if there's any way to IMDb this, but
he's singing to her through the window.
He's definitely older than her dad. And let me just tell you my deal, whether I'm coming to a town to rock you or whether I need to bang your underage daughter, I don't knock. That's not my move. Like, hey, let me clear this with Pops.
He's wearing a wedding ring.
That's oh, my God.
Now, the other thing that freaked me out about this, and Gary, you're going to have to look at it. He's wearing a wedding ring, but it's 3/4 inch wide. So yes, either he's just wearing a huge a ring on his wedding finger, which is a weird message,
it's a confusing
right?
Move.
Yeah.
Who are these people? You have 9 other goddamn choices to put hoops around.
Any other finger would not send a message.
There's one finger that suggests you're married.
You can suggest the pinky ring suggests mafioso, but that's
right.
A subtle message.
And you are so right about him looking north of 40.
He
looks like he's had work done.
She's on the phone. I don't know. She's not doing any talking. She's just listening to him sing through the payphone.
She hasn't gotten old enough to speak.
Sad part is I love this song.
You know what? This is ball rock.
Great song.
Now this is a tool.
Is it ball ballad?
This is
a ballad.
Now he's on the phone floating over the San Fernando Valley. Because we all know when you go on that magic carpet ride, you want to go to Van Nuys, North Hollywood Valley Village area. It's terms of the most picturesque scenic. If you've never seen stucco boxes from above, you think you've seen stucco and aluminum windows, but you've not seen rolled asphalt roofing or Mexicans up there with a hot mop. I mean, that's where really.
Now he makes his move.
Yeah, now he's coming in through the window.
With his own carpet.
Does not even wait for the cover of darkness.
Oh no, broad brazen, broad daylight.
He rolled out a rug, and she is going to sit on the rug with him, and now it's back to Van Nuys, where they'll sail over some industrial buildings.
Does she know he's there? Because she hasn't acknowledged him yet.
She does at a certain point. I think they start making out.
Oh my God.
It's a crime scene.
Oh no, he's flying to New York. There's he took her to the Statue of Liberty.
Oh wow.
It's almost like somebody took Magic Carpet Ride a little too seriously the whole time. You kind of meet little girl.
They went on the nose. Uh-oh. She's laying down on the carpet now.
She's succumbing.
Oh, there you are.
She's wearing pink socks.
Oh, he's making out with her wearing pink socks.
She's 16. There's knowledge that she's 16.
Can I say this?
Oh, they're going for it.
Going for it several hundred feet above a highway is not a safe thing. Like, literally, this is not safe sex. Literally.
Yeah,
you could fall to your death.
Yeah. High risk.
Why do they keep showing that?
That's
scene
what
over
confused
and over.
Me. Like, why does he keep going back? Oh. Because the song is 19 seconds longer than they had footage of, and.
Yeah, they're reusing footage now.
Right.
He has to go back to the phone.
Okay. So got a lot of eyeliner going on there, too. Anyway, I could not think of something I'd like less to happen to my daughter than the guy with pink socks and capizios and a magic carpet.
And eyeliner.
And eyeliner, especially after we met at the door, and I thought I was pretty civil.
You lay
yet,
it out.
Yet crystal clear.
She's just 16 years old.
Yeah, leave her alone.
Leave her alone. That was it. I'm now heading back into the den to crack a cold one and watch some SportsCenter.
And there was no hello, who are you, what are you here for? So clearly, they're familiar with each other.
This is not the first meeting.
Yeah, he had courted her or attempted to court her for some time.
Also,
it's a series of crimes, not an isolated incident.
You have an area rug or hallway runner that can defy gravity.
Yeah.
Listen, she's too young to talk about her area rug. This is inappropriate.
But the reality is you can use any van to bang any underage chick. Yet this flying carpet, this is something that could be utilized by the military, handicapped people.
Yeah, you're really burying the lead with the song.
Your first move with the flying carpet is to head on by SpaceX, call Elon Musk out, and kind of go, oh, what are you guys doing in there? That's cute.
Oh, rocket going straight up and like down?
I think I had to model that shit when I was five. Yeah. Oh, what am I plugged into? Where's my rocket fuel? My propulsion system? Nah, I figured it out. No big deal.
That was the second clip from San Diego Nick. Thank you for requesting it. And make sure to check that out. It's on YouTube, right, Gio?
It is. You can find it. I think it's on my YouTube channel. You guys can have it put on Corolla Digital as well. On Adam Carolla's YouTube channel, we're now up to over 103,000 subscribers. Those last three came in super fast, much faster than the final three to get from 97 to 100. So it looks like it's picking up steam, Chris.
Yeah, look at us. YouTube.com/AdamCarolla. All right, we got another
request.
Speaking
of San Diego, by the way, Sombrero Burritos from the Blink-182 song, they're as magical as they were in that song.
Oh, okay, good to know.
Everybody in San Diego is sick of them. They are delicious. If you're there, go get one.
Yeah, and that's the song Josie. All right, this next clip is a request from another listener named Nick, but this Nick is from Colorado, and he writes, "Hey, Chris and Gio, I think it's time you guys played my favorite clip in the history of the Corolla show. I apologize if you've already played it and somehow space it out, but I'm thinking of that clip where Jay Moore does his Russell Brand impression. It kills me. Thanks."
There are many. I was looking through trying to find the best ones. I found two. They're all very short because he tends to do it at the end of the episodes. So we're going to start with Adam Carolla Show 1596, Jay Moore, David Wilde, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop, June of 2015. You get a little closing Russell Brand. It's hilarious. Check it out.
All right. What if Eddie Vedder was the neighbor that borrowed the tools in the sitcom?
Adam, sorry to bother you. I was wondering if I could have your lawnmower for for the afternoon, you know?
Hey, listen, Stewie. I lent you my orbital sander.
I appreciate that very much.
I lent you my oscillating spindle sander.
I appreciate that very much.
I lent you my drum sander.
I appreciate that very much as well.
I lent you my vibrating sander.
Oh, that one I don't remember.
Well, what about the belt sander?
What about the bikes? I could play this game. We could literally...
Now, the mower was a gift.
Do 2 hours, and you just spit... You should have a wheel.
Oh.
Of tick, 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 like whatever impression comes up. I have to do it like that.
Uh-huh.
You could have somebody...
Well, Gary, why don't you... Put it in a hat.
Shout something out. Let's see.
But only let Adam know, and Adam will just ask the
guy. Does it have to be one that we know he does an impression of, or can we challenge
him? No, I'll try. Help. Sin bravely.
Well, let's start. I always enjoy his... we already did... damn it.
Harvey Keitel?
Enjoy Colin Quinn.
All right, Colin Quinn.
I'll hand the floor over to the lead, Mr. Adam Carolla. I'll be the narrator.
Listen.
Exterior Park, San Fernando Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Adam and his friend Colin on a bench feeding squirrels. Mm. Adam looks angry.
Tommy, you really got me in some hot water with the old lady.
Hot water? It's 106 degrees out here. Of all the scenarios you could have painted, hey, you know what, Tommy? I'm freezing.
All right. Let's not change the subject.
I think that one needs a rewrite.
All right. You having your compilation porn sent to my house, to my address, so you could walk over and collect it so you wouldn't get into trouble with your wife, is not helping me at all because Cheryl does not believe a word I said.
That's just called great management on my end, dummy. Just because I'm smart enough to have my porn delivered to your house, and you're dumb enough to have your stamps.com read come to my house.
Well, for the love of Christ.
All right, let's not take the Lord's
Asian
name in
women
vain.
That are into
on ABC for crying out loud.
Asian women with asymmetry in the boob department. Do you know how bad that makes me look?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Awfully specific porn.
Asymmetry in the boob department.
That was so smart. I got smoked out of my own bed.
I'm saying, Tommy.
When you lower your voice, you're scaring the squirrels here. And they may look like
rodents. Forget about the squirrels. You know what I need you to do?
Forget about the squirrels. It's easy for you to say.
You come to my house tonight.
I'm holding all these nuts.
Listen. Hmm? Here's what we're going to do.
What's that?
I'm going to invite you and Anita over for dinner tonight.
Maybe we leave the wives out of it.
No, we're not leaving the wives out of it.
What I'm trying to say is we broke up.
Okay, I'm sorry about you and Anita. I need you to come over and explain to Cheryl what happened.
Your wife and me, we broke up.
What? You were dating my wife?
Well, we were going to bring it to you, but that's why I brought you out to the park to feed the squirrels. I figured, there wouldn't be violence in such a bucolic setting.
Are you kidding me? First off, you're making fun of my hot water and you're using words like bucolic? Now, listen to me.
I had bucolic as a baby.
Yeah. Listen to me, Tommy. I
spin the wheel.
This close to being divorced. All right, give us one more.
Oh,
you don't have to do any of this.
Let's go, Norm. We gotta get Norm in here.
All right.
What's the setting? You gotta set the setting.
Oh my gosh!
You gotta set the setting. In your voice.
Sorry to bother you. Work here in the hospital.
Oh, work.
Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry to bother you at your job here in
West. You know,
at the hospital. Well,
listen,
hold on.
First off,
close.
You want to make
this chair's too fucking small.
All right,
do you want to switch chairs?
Tom Cruise taught me that. Sometimes little things like that are.
I'm gonna
important.
Listen, Rusty. There's no way
Russell
I'm gonna make.
Brand. You say you call me Rusty Rockets.
No, yeah, okay, Rusty. Yeah,
she's beautiful, Gina.
Yeah, she.
I like to make a beautiful ribbon of white fibula and cover her breasts. She gonna make life out of them.
Are we still
in
the hospital?
Huh?
Where are we?
Maternity ward, darling.
Oh, okay.
That's why they're so swollen.
Yes, yes.
It's beautiful and filled with life and milk.
Yes.
And future babies.
Yeah, yeah. So listen, Russell.
Are you real?
Yes.
You're beautiful.
Thank you, Russell.
All of us working together to get a higher consciousness.
I like your henna tattoos.
I appreciate that very much. It's only temporary. We're all visiting.
Yeah, understood.
And let's call Echo and the Bunny Man, write a letter. Dear Mr. Echo.
No.
All right.
Now, look, we're at a time that's pretty stressful for me and my wife.
Well, Adam, I think you need to describe what is stress for you and your wife.
Just having twins.
That is stressful.
And my wife's in a certain amount of pain because of the C-section that took place just hours ago.
And I bet you're in a bit of pain looking at the scar.
I am now that you've reminded me of it. So what we'd like is a little personal space right now.
It's like a little equator across
the line.
Their bodies.
Yeah, maybe it's the prime meridian. I'm not sure
exactly
which way she's facing.
But they also call that the doldrums.
The doldrums.
That's what it's called. If you're a sailing man, nautical things.
It's the doldrums.
If you sail south of the equator, it's called the doldrums because there's no wind.
Well, my wife.
Unlike your wife, who's quite a prolific farter.
Well, she was pushing pretty hard.
That's true as well.
Yeah, her doldrums have staples in them right now. They're stainless steel and they're due to be removed in about 2 weeks. So, what we're looking for right now, Russell. And by the way, I don't know. I thought Arthur was pretty good. I don't know why you got slammed.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Arthur as well, and I got to work with Louis Guzman. He's a delightful little Puerto Rican man.
He's
the same height laying down as he is standing up tall.
Yeah, he's a short little Puerto Rican
man. He's a troglodyte.
Yeah. Yeah, Louis Guzman.
Doesn't matter. Che Guevara, Christ, Malcolm X.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Gandhi.
Yeah.
As long as we're all working on the same page in one giant corporation.
Well, speaking of working, I know
your name's on the letterhead.
Yeah.
Let them work for you. Let your wife's staples be the ones, the clarion bell, that rings out and says, look out, world. Here comes Adam Carolla. He's me mate. I love him. I gave birth to his twins. He lives forever. He's immortal.
What's
how could she ask anything of you?
Yeah, I know. I'm okay. Career-wise, what's going on right now? Well, and actually, I'd like to know what's going on with the career right now because I feel like it's cooled off a little.
I
feel like
Trues. I got a news blog.
Blog.
It's called Trues.
Trues.
It's truth and news. I combined
Trues.
The two.
Oh, you took news and truth
and
put them together.
We call it the Trues.
Right.
It's got a jingle and everything.
So you like kind of anarchy and you're against corporations.
Well, I don't really like anarchy because then I'd have to hit myself. I like communism a little bit because last time I looked it up, it meant sharing.
Oh, you want to share?
Sure.
Right, but I paid $43,000.
Gina, she looks all right for sharing. Hello, darling.
Hi.
You're not bad looking at all.
In fact,
you're quite beautiful. I'd say you're an angel sent from heaven, but that would mean I was speaking about you posthumously. And you're very much alive and vibrant in front of me.
Yeah.
Your tuning fork is banging right to my frequency. And that frequency is erection.
You're very passionate, man, aren't you?
Of course,
Russell.
I'm passionate. This is one beautiful life we have.
Right, but do you realize boundaries, right?
Boundaries, what are they? It's maps. Lines don't make the map, or the compass don't make the direction. You set your own course.
Yeah,
just because I draw a line and say, this is Virginia. Well, why not?
Well,
that's how you got them beautiful twins you have.
From
looking at her beautiful twins.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
I appreciate it. I think I'm winning you over.
You are, Russell.
The voice isn't completely there, but the spirit is perfect.
I think we should smoke hashish.
Oh, I would like that, but I've been sober for a very long time. I like to get high on my consciousness. I meditate for a very long time.
I think we liked you better when you were slamming heroin.
You did like me better.
Yeah.
But that was just an illusion.
You were less preachy and more vomity.
Well, it's the thing about being vomity is when you do go kiss a bird, she can taste vomit on your mouth, and you can only really kiss them once.
Right, but when
Whereas
you're preachy,
Gina and I, we've been shagging for days.
Right, blowhard doesn't have an aftertaste.
Well, I don't know if you call it blowhard. As long as blow is involved and you are hard,
maybe be like blowcard then. Right,
blowcard is good. I
blowcard,
like that.
That
you
could
know
be your thing.
You know, ring girl in the boxing or card, you should have blowcard.
Yeah.
Well, I fucking ran off the road.
Wow,
I went as long as I can.
That was pretty fucking
long. He's
so
brilliant.
That was amazing.
I can't ad lib as him without writing things down. That was the first
time
I ever did not pre-write.
That was
an
amazing riff. You channeled him.
Now, when you go to file your HR lawsuit, you're going to need some legal help.
Legal Zoom, baby. Yes. Let's be smart. Thank you, Bald Brian.
And that was Jay Moore doing another one of his incredible impressions.
It's great when Russell Brand kind of gets put in different scenarios, like Adam's sitcom or things he normally wouldn't be in.
Of course.
And it's always funny in these closing bits because they're kind of goofy there at the end, and Jay will say some weird stuff.
That's what we love, and we're going to do it again because Gio cut another clip for Colorado Nick, but this one...
Yeah, even though you don't know Dune and you're not Dune affiliated, I still felt like we got to give you another one, Colorado Nick. Adam Carolla Show 1881 featuring Jay Moore, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. It's from August of 2016. Colorado Nick's second clip. Russell Brand.
Rams,
going to be more?
I'm excited about. I hope so. You know, California classics would be cool. They're very good, by the way. I'm not paid to say that.
No, I get it. They look good.
I would tell you straight up.
Yeah.
They are good. And the Rams, the Los Angeles Rams, ABC7's got all their programming.
Are you going to be going?
I will be the anchor. with the anchor? Jay Moore. Toyota's putting on the LA. It's like 5 p.m. to 11.
Oh, really?
It's like Rob Fukuzaki is great. And
you're going to be like the new Fred Rogan.
Well, Rams in LA. It's not as sports like, and now here's Jay with sports. Mm-hmm. It's, hey, everybody, that game just ended. Mm-hmm. Here's what's up for now until 11 p.m.
So and then, like, what, the built-in, what are you going to do?
A lot of directing traffic. Time is sort of an accordion because if the game goes long, you can start at 5:30. If the game mm-hmm. is short, you got to go right away. And I mm-hmm. thought to myself, I might be the only person that could do this without having an actual panic attack from right. like SNL and like
right.
just radio. You go, all right, we'll pull that. That's evergreen. You can do that next week. There's an interview you have to get with the guest.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be essentially the Rams have all Saturday nights on ABC is just Rams.
Oh, really?
And I'm not on television right now. I'm not on the air. My radio show's not on the air in Los Angeles right now.
Right.
So I could do ABC 7 Rams and be the actual anchor. And like it's the name of the show with Jay Moore.
How are you going to – now you're not going to be able to – gig, right? It's exciting. But
yeah, but I could do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays. Yeah. I just can't do Saturdays. And I looked at my schedule. It's 14 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as Russell Brand would say, you just sort of get on, go about living your life.
So, Russell, this will yes. start at the beginning of preseason or the beginning of the season?
But what's the difference? Preseason is very mm-hmm. shortly after postseason. So, why don't they just call it one long season? Because time is a flat circle. It just keeps going round and round, and the
Russell.
Universe unfolds as it should.
I know. You're getting really heavy with
Where's all
this
your mates? There seems to be
everything.
A bald Brian and a gal on the side doing news.
Yeah, they're not here, Russell.
Why aren't they here, Adam Carolla?
Oh, it's just
two one. L's, one R. I know. I've done the research. I read your file, sir. You're quite the coxswain, are you?
Russell,
I've seen pictures of your wife. She likes that Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah,
they call him the boss, but I don't think that's right because he works for us.
Oh, you mean Bruce does?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, or I do. Or you, or Jay Moore does.
I'm going to marry you, Adam Carolla.
Oh,
make
geez,
a ribbon
Russell.
Of white fibula across your back.
Well, right, a ribbon of what?
I meant to say that to somebody else entirely.
Russell, you're very fluid with your sexuality.
Fluid?
Well, I
well that's one way, as the fly said going over the mirror, that's one way of looking at it, isn't it? Of course I'm fluid with my sexuality. That is the end result.
You were married to Katy Perry, were you not?
She kissed a girl once and she liked it. I kissed a girl once and I wanted more girls.
Yeah, yeah.
So I liked it a lot.
Yeah, you liked it. Maybe,
she was a pop star.
She may liked it more than Katy?
I'm trying to meet the Dalai Lama. I'm trying to find out what is it about the Sacred Heart, the Eternal Heart, the Islam, the Talmud, mm-hmm. the Christ that we talk about in the Bibles and the scriptures. And Paul and Luke and all these witnesses to history and the great Buddha, Siddhartha. These are all men throughout history and women, of course, that have gotten billions of people through eons of time to follow the letter of the law. And she wanted to sing about baby humps.
Yeah.
It didn't sort of jive with me.
I got it, Russell. You're a real sort of man of the world and you're on a quest. And you're almost like, but I feel like, and I don't know if you know Sacha Baron Cohen, but I feel like you guys would be better served to almost just sort of reel it in a little bit.
Well, I've reeled it quite a bit in, Adam. I have not been doing stand-up comedy or making the rounds on talk shows. I'm out talking to Parliament. I want drug jails. And yeah. I want the homeless to, mm-hmm. You know, be treated fairly.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I'm not
it's
out there with the crazy hair and the eyeshadow. But then again, I was addicted to crack cocaine and heroin at the time.
It's a noble cause.
I was what you would call a ne'er-do-well.
A ne'er-do-well.
I was a ne'er-do-well, among other things.
How would you pronounce Eddie DeBartolo?
Eddie DeBartolo. He's the man that owns the San Francisco 49ers.
Yes, they're 49ers.
If I'm not mistaken.
You know how they got that name?
The Gold Rush of 1849. Everybody, Horace Greeley said, go west, young man. And they all went west. But he also knew if he could sell them on the promise of a gold pan and panning for gold, a flash in the water, here, there, everywhere, they would actually have to build places to live, infrastructure, water coming out of spigots and faucets.
You miss Katy Perry. Tits.
Do I miss Katy Perry's? Maybe you haven't seen my Instagram, mate.
Oh, really?
I do all right for myself.
You do good for yourself.
Plus, I know how to make love to Adam Sandler.
You've made love to Adam Sandler?
Well, I could is what I'm saying.
Oh, you know how.
Yourself as well.
I could.
There used to be a young Asian man that worked here. He no longer works here, Adam. You didn't know you had human resources room. Here, did you?
No, no. They're just.
We're all pieces of light, Adam. The space between us is not empty. We're all connected. Even Gary. You think he's dense, but he's not. He does his best.
No.
There's one commercial.
I ask that people do my best, not their best.
That's what I like about Adam Carolla.
Mm-hmm.
But whose best are you doing when you're doing your best? Who taught you that?
Oh, wow, man.
That doesn't come from nowhere. You can't be born a child. Where am I? Why does my father not know how to spell me your name?
Right.
I need structure. Who's my figure? Who do I look at? Who is the Holy Grail? Who's the monolith? If I'm the ape, who am I looking at, right?
Oh, like,
and the answer for you, Adam, was nobody.
Talking about like the beginning of 2001 where they're staring up at the monolith, the apes?
That I do as an example, and then I think you're trying to get your audience back behind you.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Russ was talking about.
I got you,
even
Russell.
Though you understand what I'm talking about.
Man, you're blowing my mind.
Who's
man.
The man you look to and said, I want to be like that man. That's fair. That's just Che Guevara, Malcolm X, black economics. What, you're not black?
Can I be honest with you?
Yes, Adam. I would have you no other way.
In terms of looking
except
up,
on top of
in terms
me.
Of looking up the guys, you know Anderson's split pea soup?
Well, I've heard of the establishment.
Yeah, it's on the way to San Francisco. You pass Buellton, I think. Is Anderson's split pea
right
soup?
Right past Gorman.
Yeah. It's out there. It's on down the grapevine. The guy I always looked up to was there was a character. One guy was holding a chisel to split the pea, and the other was a big fat guy in a chef's hat who was going to smack on the chisel to split the pea of Anderson's split pea soup.
I think you wanted to be the fat man.
I did.
The fat man was fat because he ate so much split pea. That indicated success to you.
I just thought that guy is robust.
My tool is heavier than your tool. It's got more mass.
Yeah.
It weighs more. I'm of more import. My size is larger on the billboard, the advertisement.
Yeah.
It was. We say in England, advertisement.
Right.
The man holding the little thing. What was it called?
Well, the guy, Gary will find it. The guy had a chisel.
Again with Gary.
Well, I can't remember the picture exactly, but the guy had a chisel.
Yeah.
It like a wooden chisel.
Like the other a guy railroad tie.
Yeah, and the guy had a huge.
Was he Chinese?
Oh, no. He was just a little man.
A little man, like a Chinese man holding a railroad tie.
Yeah,
another big, giant white man of success, a fat cat, smashing it through and breaking the backs of the worker, man.
Gary's showing us pictures of ones that have people's heads through them. But, Gary,
you wanted to be
the
fat.
Actual,
sorry, I didn't
no,
see
but
that.
No, but I get it. You wanted to be that man.
Yeah, I wanted
you're beautiful,
to be the big guy.
Adam. You're beautiful.
See, there's the big guy. He's holding a big mallet. And then there's a little guy, and he's holding the chisel, and they're splitting the peas for
it's all very phallic.
Pea. I'm
the
just
little
saying,
man's holding it with two hands, which lets
Russell,
you know. Yes,
you
sir.
Ask me who I look up to.
Yeah, but you're telling me it's an advertisement. I feel like you're sacrificing honesty from your heart to sell me a bit of comedy about a billboard you saw
up
us driving.
To that man as a young child.
And you wanted to be like him, one-dimensional, frozen, forever in time, arms akimbo, holding something impossibly too heavy to keep that way in memoriam.
Yeah.
He's like that right now, and you're here talking to everyone.
I agree. Wait, I'm going to talk, then we're going to bring back Randy for 10 seconds because I love him.
Now, some more Russell Brand for you, courtesy of Jay Moore. And that'll do it for our Nick block of Corolla Classics. Thanks so much for hanging out and enjoying this lovely Saturday. And also want to remind you, if you want to rent your home, of course it can be hard work, but this is what makes it easy. If you bundle your policies with GEICO, because GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to GEICO.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's so easy. How easy is it, Gio?
It is GEICO easy.
That's right. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. Corolla Classics will be back tomorrow in the Corolla Classics feed. So make sure to subscribe to Corolla Classics, the podcast, and get your Sunday fix. We'll see you there. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
And if your name is Nick and you want to write and request a clip, classics@adamcarolla.com. Mahalo and get it on.